Good evening, and welcome to the Berean Christian School commencement ceremony for 2015. It has been a real pleasure to have worked with these students over the last few years, some of them all the way through their graduation, and we appreciate you guys being here to celebrate their accomplishments and the commencement of their adult lives. If you would, please, go ahead and bow with me in a word of prayer, and we will begin. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity that we have this evening to gather together to recognize these four students. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing within their lives, the way in which you have brought them up and matured them, both physically and spiritually. And Lord, we thank you that you have many wonderful things prepared for them as they continue their lives from here. We pray that you might be with them tonight. We pray that you might give them the words to say as they have opportunity to address those who have come to recognize and honor them. We pray that you might be with our speaker as well, that he might give them encouraging words and give them a good challenge. And we just pray that tonight we might honor and glorify you. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory for all that you're going to do, for it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Well, tonight, it is my honor to introduce each student. They will be giving a speech recognizing their accomplishments, those who have helped them, and also letting us know a little bit about where they're going to be headed once they graduate from Berean Christian School. The first student that we're going to have speak tonight has been with us for about 9 years and has been an inspiration to us. And we certainly have enjoyed watching him grow up and watching him mature and seeing everything that God has done in his life. So if you would please welcome Daylon Wells.
Good afternoon, and thank you all for coming out to celebrate the graduating class of 2015. It has been an honor attending Berean for this chapter of my life. When I was younger, I didn't realize the great opportunity that God had blessed me with. But as I matured spiritually, mentally, and physically, I realized it revealed itself to me. I used to want to attend a public school so desperately that I wasn't listening to what God was trying to tell me. But as time progressed, I discovered that Berean was the best school for me, and eventually it just felt like home. I have so many people to thank for helping me on this journey. First of all, I would like to thank God, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be standing in front of you today. My Aunt Hattie for seeing potential in me and bringing me to school every day and staying and also directing me in the right path, right direction, even though I was stubborn at the time. My grandma, Mary, for her prayers and knowledge. Without her guidance from her past experiences, I wouldn't be the man I am today. I would like to thank my mom, Carmela, for always being there for me and always saying the right thing, especially when I wanted to give up. My grandmother, Becky, for always being fun and positive and being there when I needed her. My Aunt Sade for keeping me in line and giving me a certain talking to when I needed it. My Uncle Patrick for helping me with my homework and taking me to regional student convention when I needed him to. My Uncle Dan for keeping me in the Bible and encouraging me. My grandpa Ward, who is always watching over me, for taking me to basketball games, and his wife for loving me unconditionally. My siblings, Najee, Jacoby, and Anaya, for helping me build my tolerance. My cousin Shirley for riding to school with me, just to open the door. My dad, Terrence, for always being there when I needed someone to talk to. My grandmother, for always loving and thinking about me. And every one of my aunts, uncles, cousins, and my neighbor church family for their love and support. Stephen, for being more than just a friend throughout the years. He truly is my brother. Conrad, for helping me see my true potential. David, for helping me with my work when I needed help. Katie, for being a friend that I could always trust and count on, no matter what the situation. John, for being John, and always... and always saying the right things to cheer me up when I was down. Mrs. White, for teaching me what is wrong and what is right. Mrs. Tom, from what is right. Mrs. Thomas, for assisting me throughout all the years. Pastor White, for teaching me all about all the different traits over the years. Pastor Al, for being honest and toughening me up. Mr. Rudy, for being more than just a principal and supervisor. He is really a true friend. And all the rest of the staff for their help over the years. To my underclassmen, always be persevering, even when things get tough. Just remember that you can do all things through Christ. Obey authority. Mr. Root knows what he is doing. He wouldn't ask you to do something if he didn't think you were capable of doing it, or if he didn't think that you would benefit from it. Lastly, don't forget to put God first. He put all of you here for a purpose. Whatever that purpose is, you'll be prepared for it if you continue to be diligent and read the Bible. My plan for the future are to attend college or take classes from a technical school. I would also like to attend Bible school to further my knowledge of the Bible.
As you can see, Dalen had a lot of help from a lot of different people in his education. And I tell you what, knowing that his family cares about him and was willing to sacrifice for him, it was an inspiration and is still an inspiration to all of us. And as we look back, we realize that his great aunt, Miss Ivy, she put a lot of time and effort and dedication into his education. I remember the first phone call that I got from Miss Ivy and talking about a student that had a lot of medical needs, and I just wasn't really sure we would be able to help Dalen. But she promised me that she would be there that she would take care of his physical needs, if we would take care of his academic needs. And the reality is that she did more than just take care of his physical needs. She took care of academic needs for him as well. She pushed him really hard and really was there. I mean, a lot of difficult times with any student that needs encouragement to get to graduation. And so we wanted to recognize Miss Ivy this evening. For a number of years, I know she worked nights and would come into school and sit with Dalen all day long in school. She did that for 6, 7, 8 years, and she's been faithful to bring him to school. So, Miss Ivy, we're not going to ask you to come up here tonight. I know that she's got some medical problems right now. We don't want to make you do any more walking than you need. But if you guys could just turn around, right there in the back, all the way back, there's Miss Ivy. Would you give her a round of applause? And so, Miss Ivy, we have a plaque for you tonight that says, in recognition of your selfless sacrifice of time, dedication, and steadfast love, we have our verse, Matthew 25:21, well done, thou good and faithful servant, from Berean Christian School. Thank you very much. Last year, I had the opportunity to talk with another family member, a parent of a student, a family that we'd had the opportunity to work with in the past, and they called us again to let us know that they had a daughter that was struggling in the public schools, not so much with academics, but with a group of friends that were trying to pull her towards some worldly influences. And they asked if we would be willing to step in and help out. And so we had the opportunity to meet Jasmine Nguyen. And she completed her schooling through us over the last couple of years and has done a great job. And so, Jasmine, we're going to turn it over to you right now.
Thank you, everybody who has come to support me. Switching from public school to Berean made a huge difference in my life, spiritually speaking, from trying to please man to striving to be all that God wants me to be. High school was a long, hard road, but all glory to God, I made it. Thank you for my parents for obeying God and knowing what was best for me and, during that difficult time in my life. I want to thank my friends and family who have supported me and pushed me and encouraged me to do the very best that I can do to make it to the end. I want to thank Mr. Root for allowing me to go through the homeschooling program and finish strong, and for also being an encouragement to me. And a huge thanks to my mom for putting up with me on all my lazy days and our fights that we had, and basically every day. And I'm so glad that I've been able to become closer with you. I look forward to following God's plan for my life and doing everything that He's called me to do.
Another young lady that we've enjoyed having in our school came to us, I think, about 5 years ago. And we've enjoyed watching her mature, seeing her grow up. She's been outstanding in academics from the very first day that she came. And we certainly have enjoyed seeing the growth that we've seen in you, Rachel. So, Rachel Claudier, if you would come up and...
Family and friends, I am honored that you are all here to celebrate with us in our graduation ceremony. Before I really begin my speech, I would like to take a moment in silence for all the children and teenagers out there who are not able to attend schools or receive a proper education because of whatever situation they may be in that prevents it. To be honest, I had the hardest time writing my speech because there are so many things that I could talk about. And despite you being my captive audience, I was only allowed so much time to speak. I can talk about my family and how supportive they were of me, and how I learned to stop disliking the way my mom would tell me to study, 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 because that really did help me in the end, or how my dad always challenged me to be better. I could also talk about my teachers at school and how much they helped me as well, and that they're the best teachers that I could have ever wanted. They've taught me so much, and I couldn't be here today without them. I will forever remember how loving and supportive Mrs. Tallman is to everyone. I will also remember the little tricks Mr. Root liked to play, like the time he dressed up like a clown and set off a whoopee cushion during rally at the regional student convention. I could also talk about the friends I have made. My old school was so big, and I had a hard time finding a spot to fit in. But at Berean, because it's so small, I kind of like to think that it helps form stronger friendships. We are all together for and share in our successes and failures. It builds a community. I know that my friends definitely taught me some lessons and showed me new things. I just hope that I help them learn some new things along the way as well. But mostly, I'd like to thank God for the path he has had me take. Despite hardships and trials, he has always carried me through them, and I definitely would not be graduating now if it weren't for God's blessings of diligence and strength in my life. Thank you.
Our final speaker tonight, notice I didn't say graduate. We haven't gotten that far yet. We've been honored since preschool. And he's been a lot of fun. He really has. And I think you're going to see his wonderful personality and the fun that we've had with him tonight. Stephen Anson.
Hello, everyone. I appreciate that all of you were able to make it tonight. And for those people who were not able to make it, I forgive you. I am extremely grateful for everyone who has encouraged me throughout my entire year of schooling. It really is incredible how fast time flies by. It seems like just yesterday I was in preschool making macaroni pictures with my teacher, Mrs. Stewart. And for the record, all the naps that I did not want to take then, I will please like to get them now. So there we go. As I grew older, I got promoted into Mrs. Steve's class. I can't even begin to describe how much I love that class. I remember my friend Josiah and I repeatedly flinging pencils back and forth to each other during class. Then, because we were flinging pencils in class, we would, of course, get a demerit, which, when you really get one demerit, it's not that big of a deal. You gotta wait like 2 minutes or something. But then you just kind of continue to keep flicking them back. But after you get that second demerit, you face forward, you fold your hands, you do not move for the rest of the day. I was terrified because if I were to get a detention, I would get scolded like no other. So I would sit there, look face forward for the rest of the day, no matter how much work I had to do. But Mrs. Steve, I absolutely loved you being my teacher. I appreciate all of the hard work that you did, whether that's drawing each character on the whiteboard every morning, reading us stories constantly, being super quick to help us with anything we needed, and being such an amazing role model for such a crucial time in my life. I honestly will never forget the time that I had in your class, and thank you. Mrs. White, I appreciate all that you've done in my life as well. You've not only taught me valuable lessons in schooling, but also grounded me in spiritual principles and applications in the early years of my life. Those spiritual and character-building lessons that you have taught me has helped me become the person I am today, and I'm sure that I will remember those for the rest of my life. To my monitors, all of them, Mrs. Fry, Mrs. Botiford, Mrs. LeBrier, Mrs. Ensweiler, Mrs. Tallman, Mrs. Parrish, I'm not sure if I had you in my classroom, but still, you're part of this as well. You ladies do such a tremendous amount of work, and whether it's like running around the classroom answering the flags, trying to get us to stop horsing around in PE, catching every single mistake that I had in Goal Check, which every single mistake every one of them. All of the time. Like, it's crazy. You truly are phenomenal, and I do thank you for coaching me during all my school years. Thank you so much. Mrs. Bergener, with the amount of patience that you have, I'm not truly convinced that you're actually human. Maybe some sort of, like, peacekeeping robot or something. I don't know, but it's incredible what you've done. Thank you for being such an amazing supervisor my last year, and it has really made that last year truly wonderful, and I will never forget that. Thank you so much. Oh, Mr. Root. I'm actually sure, 100% sure, that he is a robot. Like, no question. You have this ability to, like, scan the room and look at one person and strike fear into their souls. Like, it's really cool to see, but when you're on the returning end of that, it is absolutely terrifying. Like, the face goes from, like, ha, it is like, I don't know, it's amazing. But in all seriousness, you have really helped me tremendously in my schooling, Mr. Root. Whether it's helping me with that tricky algebra, teaching me how to write an essay for work, having devotions with us every morning and opening exercises, rewriting the essay because the thesis statement was not strong enough, CLT, convention events, and many, many other things. You really have played an important part in my life, and I thank you so much for that, Mr. Root. Pastor Wyatt, Pastor Allen, Dr. Tyler, and everyone on the school board, thank you so much for being such strong spiritual leaders that I can look up to. Thank you for taking every Wednesday and taking the time to come and preach to us in chapel. Again, I will never forget those spiritual lessons that you have taught us. Mom and Dad, I have no idea how you guys did this, honestly. Like, if any of you know me, you know how sometimes I can get on people's nerves a little bit. I just have no idea how you both put up with all my shenanigans for 18 years. And you're nodding your head, too, and I have no idea. Both of you guys, thank you for pushing me. I really do appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. I would not have been able to do it without you guys' help with teaching me and, you know, making me stay up late in the night to be able to, you know, not have homework the next day. It was really worth it, and thank you guys for so much for being there for everything. I love you so much. To my brothers David and Eric now. Even though sometimes I torment both of you to the end of the world, I do have a special place in my heart for both of you. Thank you guys for helping me when I needed it and whipping me back in shape when I needed it, which was quite frequently. To my Aunt Susie, thank you for always helping me in English, because you are such an expert in that and helping me find out my infinitives from my gerunds and all that other English things that are really difficult for me. For Grandma, thank you so much for always keeping me full, whether it's cookies, fruit salads, brownie, you get the idea. Like, you're awesome, I love you, Grandma. To my girlfriend Elizabeth, who was not able to make it tonight, thank you for always having the right thing to say to me whenever I'm sad, and you cheer me up, and you settle me down when I'm being a little obnoxious. Thank you for everything. To my other brothers, Patrick and Conrad, y'all rock, yeah. You pushed me when I needed it and laughed at me when I hurt myself. And every day I had so many new jokes that you guys would tell me, and I would just, it made my day just every day. I was going to tell one of their jokes, but it was really cheesy. Dalen, you don't think I forgot about you, Dalen. We've practically grown up together. We've had a lot of fun times, and I'm really going to miss it. You've taught me how to persevere, even through all the difficult things, and I truly am honored to call you my brother. Thank you. Throughout all this, though, most importantly, I would like to thank God. No matter what happens in my life, I'm always sure that God has a plan. He's been watching over me every step of my life, and I'm 100% sure that he will continue forever. All my accomplishments are because of him, and he deserves all of the glory. There are many other people who have played an influence in my life, and Unfortunately, because I only have like 5 minutes, which I probably already exceeded right now, even though I don't mention you by name, I appreciate everything that you've done, and you are not forgotten. In the fall, I will be attending Cedarville University in Ohio. I will be a member of the Cedarville's EMS team, and I will be pursuing a major in nursing. Afterwards, Lord willing, I will be attending a graduate program to become a certified registered nurse anesthetist. These CRNAs are responsible for managing and monitoring pain levels with the use of anesthesia throughout surgeries. I'd like to thank all of you for being here tonight to be able to witness both my graduation and my classmates' graduation. And in the wise words of Spock, live long and prosper.
It's truly marvelous to stand up here and look out and see so many smiling faces and caring souls, and to celebrate the night with these young people. It's truly, truly wonderful. It is my honor and privilege to introduce our guest speaker, Ms. Dr. James McIntosh. Dr. McIntosh.
So that's how that works. Okay. It's totally a pleasure to be here tonight with you and to address the class of 2015 Berean Christian School. When I first started my time of preaching and teaching, it took me a long time to learn how to go from 20 minutes or to stretch it to 20 minutes. Well, now it's hard to go only 20 minutes. So I've cut this down to 6 pages. I know that's encouraging. But I wanted to share with you the mission statement of Berean Christian School. That's something I think needs to be stressed every semester more than once. Berean Christian School exists to assist parents in bringing their sons and daughters to maturity in Christ in preparation for life and ministry by teaching them sound academics and the principles of God's word, way, and will, the application of them, and how to teach them to others. And I used to have that memorized, but I didn't want to mess it up. It's in one word, it's discipleship. And the school verse is Acts 7:17-11. These Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And throughout all of my career of the years I've lived, I have found that everything is spiritual. Everything is worship. I think that's a better word. Everything is worship. It's either excellent worship or it isn't. And with that, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we open His word together. Father, we do thank you tonight for these young people that have come here for the commencement ceremony. Father, we ask your blessing on them, but that they will live that worship life that you so desire for all of us. And Father, I do pray that you will guide and direct them, and that they will see the necessity of studying your word before they study any other academic book. And Father, we trust that you'll be glorified in that. In Jesus' name, amen. I have found as a academic dean at the Brooks Bible Institute for many years that technology has changed and it keeps changing. And I wonder sometimes, is Google going to be in the dictionary? And the word ain't seems to be in there now if you get a big enough dictionary. But technology, it just keeps on changing and keeps getting better, we think. The iPad, how many have iPads? voice activated. You know, it's against the law to yell fire in a crowded theater. But if you want to have some fun, walk into a crowded room and yell, Google Home, and see how many cell phones go off. You can Google where to eat. You can Google what you ate, if it's good or bad. You can Google where to live. You can Google where to drive. You can Google for a date. You can Google for a mate. I wouldn't suggest those necessarily, but you can Google for a car or a vacation and how far to drive for vacation or fly. You can Google for knowledge and education, but you cannot Google for wisdom. And for 12 years, you have received knowledge. And I praise God for that. And it's a Christian-based knowledge, Brian Christian School. But now the education begins in wisdom. And I pray that we can drive that home in your heart, that now the education in wisdom begins. When a baby is born, now, if we have 70, that's 70 years. And so when a baby is born, that's 25,550 days. And I'm over that 70 mark, so if God gives me a certain amount, a few more days to live, I don't know how many I've got left. We don't know how many we have left. We may not have the full 25,550 days. We may have more. We don't know. But what we do with that time is how we're going to use the knowledge in a wise way, and what's going to happen in those days if I'm going to bring true worship to our God. What will you do with your days? What are you going to do? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Listen to some of these words here in the Old Testament. Job 8 and verse 9. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. A shadow. It's like going out on a cold day and you see your breath and it's gone. It's a vapor. How will we use our days? Psalm 90 and verse 9 says, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. In verse 12, Psalm 90, he says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts into wisdom. Satisfy us early with thy mercy that we may rejoice and be glad in our days. We're going to do nothing or we're going to do something. I pray that the something that we do is a wise something. In some professions, you can do nothing and get paid for it. Get paid big in some of them. If you don't do anything, you can't be wrong, they say. Some people refuse to do something. They refuse to build, construct, bake, manufacture, repair, sew, paint, manage, become a nurse. Do something with the days that God has given us. The news reports at 6 o'clock to the people who have been doing something. They love to report on the government because they... No, I'm not going to say it. They love actors because actors don't do anything. The job of an actor is to pretend to do something. And when they don't do something or cannot, they bring in a double to do it for them because... the double is someone who does something. They seem to be conservative because they're always doing something. switching gears just a bit. How important is truth to you? Now, these are some things that I wanted to ask the class of 2015. And these are rhetorical, so you don't have to answer them out loud. Unless you want to, but who is Jesus? It's not who is Jesus to you, or who is Jesus to different religions, but who is Jesus? Who is he really? And what is your relationship to him? How does a person get to heaven? Do we know those answers? And that's where I pray that some of the knowledge that we've shared with you at Berean Christian School has guided you toward the answers to those questions. What evidence from our daily life do we have that other people could say, that's a saved person? That person knows their God. They know Jesus. And what kind of job should I pursue? All these questions come up in our mind as we're growing up. And you're going to start off maybe going to a college, doing something else, and then halfway through you might find yourself changing career paths. The average person changes career paths 4 times. I've done it 3, I think. I'm still looking for another, if you've got any ideas. So. We honor our educators, Berean Christian School staff. They've helped you. You've received knowledge from their insight and from their help, and they have reward waiting for them in heaven. It's not a thing that they get paid big for here, but they'll get a reward for what they've done to help them. Thank a teacher. Thank a teacher. Matter of fact, even hug them. I think that's okay. You've got your knowledge up to 12th grade. Again, now the education begins. I want to give you some things to remember as you go this route, as you go this commencement. Not everyone famous is correct. That's something that we need to remember, that just because they're on TV and the radio and politics or whatever they're doing, writing a book, they're not all correct. And we need sound judgment and discernment to know which is the difference. And hopefully, as you testified here today, that some have helped you in that area. There's a man that you all may know, or have heard of at least, Erwin Lutzer. He writes in one of his books, God doesn't want you to be successful. He wants your worship. He wants your worship. And if you give him your worship, then success is going to be something that will come along behind that. He says in his writing here today, looking back, I realize that I'm not or shall never be the person I visualized in my youth. I had to accept my limitations and realistically evaluate my gifts. I'm not complaining. I've had opportunity to attend several schools, teach in a Bible school, pastor a church, and do some things, but my daydreams were unrealistic. Most of them will never come true. And the way we perceive ourselves is usually, most typically, different than the way other people perceive us. So what is God seeking, Erwin asked. What is God seeking? Is he seeking educated Christians, successful Christians, popular writers? No, at least not primarily. He's seeking worshipers. He's looking for men and women who know him and know the difference of natural faith and spiritual faith. A good friend of mine shared that with me recently. So what does God want from us? How do we pursue that? 1 Peter 3:12 tells us, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Now, just imagine that. That God himself is watching those who want to be righteous people and want to live for him. And his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord, and get this, the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. How would you like to have the face of the Lord against you? Here's some principles in the Old Testament for success with the eyes of the Lord and how he looks at us. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. They weren't perfect people, but they strived to do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. Our actions, our life, our worship is before the eyes of the Lord. Wisdom. Seek wisdom while she may be found. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The principal thing is to get wisdom, get understanding, not just knowledge. Not just knowledge. You can take a piece of paper and put it in a frame and put it on a wall. But where's the wisdom? Where's the wisdom? And with that, I wanted to ask you one more question. And this comes from Solomon's life, 1 Kings chapter 3. In 1 Kings chapter 3, he says this, starting at verse 4. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. And this is what gets me sometimes. We like commentaries. We have commentaries in our library shelves. And Rachel, whenever she would come into the library, she'd pick out the thickest books. I don't know how that worked for you, but I was impressed. But our commentaries, right? They're not inspired. They're not the Word of God. And so we've always got to go back and find out, what does the Bible say? I've had people say, well, Solomon came and asked God for wisdom. That sounds like a pretty noble thing to do. Go and ask God for wisdom. That's pretty good. But what if somebody came up to you, very, very, very rich person, and you knew that they had just unlimited funds, and they handed you a blank check and said, fill in the amount. Here, fill in the amount. What would you write in there? What would you ask for? Well, he says in verse 5, and at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night. It doesn't sound like he went to the Lord. It sounds like the Lord came to him because he was asleep. He says he appeared to him in a dream at night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? Ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go in or go out or come in. And he's saying he's not sure he's up to the task. In verse 9, he says, therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? And this speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you've asked this and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have asked for riches for yourself, nor have asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for understanding and discernment of justice, behold, you got it. It's yours. And I'm going to make you rich too on top of it. Now, I'm not saying that's going to work in every case. So don't get too excited about the money part. But he asked for wisdom for the right reason. Now, how did he turn out? Solomon had wisdom. And I'm impressed with the wisdom that God had given him and the things that he had done. But you don't always use wisdom wisely. Or maybe he did. He saw all these cities around Jerusalem. How are we going to protect Jerusalem? So he marries daughters of the kings, because the kings aren't going to go against a place that has their own daughters. The problem is, when the daughters came and they married, they also brought their false idols. And the rest is history. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Sorry. 700 wives. Now, I got to ask you, men, is that wise? I love my wife, but I don't think I could handle 699 more women in the house. But they brought in idolatrous temples and idolatry. So his wisdom being used for natural things cost. It cost him. If he would have used his wisdom in a supernatural way, he would have asked God, God, I see all these kingdoms around us. What do you want me to do? Now that would have been godly wisdom, not man's kind of wisdom. So I have to ask you tonight, what are you going to do with your days? What kind of wisdom are you looking for? I want to give you some ideas for what to do now after graduation. Find your passion. Find your passion. Learn to be bold, not mean, but bold. Learn to be confident, not self-confident, but confident through the Lord. Dream big. Nothing wrong with dreaming big. Make sure the dreams are based on worship and godly dreams. Be persistent. Don't give up. Nothing's really over until you stop and stop trying. You don't need to be perfect, but we do need to be faithful, don't we? We do need to be faithful. Use your imagination and your creativity. God gave us technology. As a matter of fact, all the technology that we have, God has given to all man. That's his general blessing to everybody. God is good even to the unjust. He reigns on the just and the unjust. And he's given technology to unsaved people. He's given unsaved doctors technology to help saved people. Isn't that something? Brother Al Austin uses the illustration in Romans that the goodness of God brings a man to repentance. God is good to us. If you think you can, you can. Well, that's a good start. But somebody said this evening, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. I'm on the last page. You've been learning for several years now. Now it's time for the education. Now it's time for wisdom. It's time to take what God has put into your mind. I know you've got all this knowledge and it's ready to break open. But what are you going to do? What are you going to write on that check? Has God given you that blank check? Well, we don't know how many days he's given us, but what are we going to write on those days that he has given us? Here's a challenge. I would challenge you to get at least a year of Bible school along with your plans so you have that firm foundation. Systematic theology doesn't hurt to have that. Mom and Dad, I hope, I trust, I pray that Mom and Dad taught us who Jesus is, that he died, buried, arose again, which is really the most powerful part of the gospel message, that he arose again, ascended to heaven. But did they teach you how to live that truth out every day? Micah 6:8, we all know this verse. But this is what God is looking for from us. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Walk humbly with your God. Now, for the rest of us, if God has drawn you to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you have placed your trust in Jesus Christ and him alone for salvation, write this down. If you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, God loves you as much right now as he's ever going to. There's nothing that you can do that's going to please him more than he's pleased with you right now, because you are his child, if you're born again. If you're not born again, see one of us afterwards. But he loves you. He wants you to worship him. It's not our titles that impress God. It's not our works, but it's worship that he wants. Thank you.
Well, this time, we would like to present diplomas to our graduating class. And so, as I announce the names, Pastor, Dr. McIntosh, if you would like to as well, Mr. Bachman, if you would go ahead and present the diplomas to the students. The first diploma goes to Daylon Terrell Wells. Graduating with an honors diploma, Stephen Joseph Anson. Jasmine Ray Nguyen. Rachel Moira Hope Claudier. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the graduating class of Berean Christian School 2015.
Great job. You can be seated just now. Guys, good job. I really liked Dalen's eyes as soon as you started handing the check. Didn't know where you're going to your illustration, but as soon as he says that big check and he handed Dalen's eyes, went, yeah, this is pretty good. What a graduation. Yeah, appreciate that. It's been a good time. And I appreciate each of the graduates and each of the families who are here. Thank you so much for being here. We do appreciate it. There will be a reception to follow in the Activity Center, is that correct? We want to make sure we have some prayer for that. I'd like to give the benediction now. Benediction is a combination of Latin words, bene for good and dict for speech. Good speech. It's a good word. It's a way of giving a blessing. So I would like to give a blessing to these graduates right now. So if you would please join me in a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful to you. What an awesome God you are. You brought these four lives, Father, conceiving them, bringing them forth, gifting them, talenting them, preparing their future, preparing them for what was coming up. Thank you, Father, for the love that you had for them even before they came into this world, for the purpose that you've designed them for. And thank you, Father, for the parents that you brought them with. Thank you for the love that's gone on, the struggles that have gone on, the joys that have gone on, the wonderful times that have happened together, for all of those go together to make life experiences. Thank you, Father, for the way in which you have watched over each of them through some very difficult situations for some, for some easier situations, yet their future's ahead before them. They're loaded with promise, Father, and we thank you that you have put that promise in them, the potential in them. You have gifted them in a way that they will be truly solid men and women before the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I ask that you would give them great joy, great faith, great peace, and your grace always. They might always look to you for everything. And Father, that time when they see something else that seems to attract them just a little bit more, I ask in the name of Jesus, you'll give them only so much difficulty to make them turn their eyes back to you. I ask, Father, that you will prune them as they need pruning, but you'll cause them to bear much fruit, for in them truly is a great deal of hope. May their lives be that which changes the lives of other people. May they always be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ and servants of those that you have made. We ask, Father, that you would grant them the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of joy, the fullness of your peace all the time. Make of them mighty men and women of God who truly will know how to build communities, will know how to accomplish good tasks. Set them before them, Father, and give them a good vision for the future. Keep them steadfast in every way. We thank you so much, Father, for what you've done with Dalen and bringing him through so many difficult situations, and yet such a cheerful spirit, Father. We thank you for this young man and for all the people supporting him, Father. I give you praise for what you will do in his life, and the people are going to be blessed by his presence, encouraged by who he is. Thank you for Stephen, Father. Thank you for the way in which you've worked in his life. You've loved him and you've cared for him. You've taught him great and wonderful things. And you've given him a vision for what he wants to do in the future. Father, always keep him strong before the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep him always looking at Christ. Thank you for a good sense of humor you've given to him, Father. May that always be used for your glory and honor. And in many situations, Father, to disarm things that might have gone another way. Thank you for what you will do. Thank you for Jasmine, Father, and for the way you've loved her and cared for her, for the direction you give in her life. Thank you for the love of Jesus Christ that's in her. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name, give her a clear vision of always ministering before the Lord Jesus Christ. Fill her heart full of love, Father. Fill her heart full of peace and joy. And make of her a mighty woman of God, Father, changing lives and communities all around her. Thank you for what you will do. Father, I thank you for Rachel. And I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you'll minister great and powerful things in her life. Thank you for the way you've gifted her and talented her. Father, help her to use each of that, each of those very gifts that you've given to her for your glory and for your honor. Bless her with wisdom and understanding and give her a good way to see the life that she has before her. Grant that she might be a good servant. And we thank you for that. Thank you for their families, Father, and for the blessing they have been to all of us and to each other, and for the staff that has been involved in their lives. Thank you, Father, for no one grows up by themselves. There are many influences in their life. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in each one of them. Now we ask your blessing to rest upon our reception time together and the good and sweet fellowship we get to have. Thank you for drawing us together in this one body, in this one family, in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.